Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Join me in prayer. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This summer, as Community Mennonite Church, we've been preaching against the vices, sometimes called the seven deadly sins, and advocating the virtues of Christian living. Here's an image of the vices updated for our digital age. So certainly all of these technologies can be put to virtuous uses as well, but some of us can identify with the temptations and traps represented here. Today we're focusing on sloth, depicted as binge watching Netflix, which seems kind of ironic to me because this weekend at least 16 people from Community Mennonite Church participated in the Virginia Mennonite Conference Summer Assembly. In addition to the rich and moving worship services, great Bible teaching by Sarah Bixler, who's actually going to preach here next month, and a powerful sermon from both Aaron Kaufman from from VM Missions and from the MDS director, Kevin King, the delegates also worked for hours all day Friday in delegate meetings and all morning Saturday. In fact, we went overtime yesterday. Our friends who came from North Carolina just finally had to leave because, you know, they had a long trip home. And led by our own Sam Miller, on Friday, the local Carpenter Guild framed a house for a West Virginia family in the extreme heat. You know, some of us were in air conditioning, and in record time, they finished before the press could arrive and had things loaded on the truck before everyone could get enough photos of the event. Mennonites are not known for sloth. So even if sloth is not your besetting sin, you kind of know what I'm talking about, right? Perhaps you or someone you know has suffered from this vice at least one time or another. Christians through the centuries have valued work and rest, and each generation warns the next about laziness. Jesus himself says in the Gospel of John, "We must work the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." There's this urgency about the work of the gospel, as well as the necessity for work to meet household needs and give purpose to our many days. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, God gave humanity work to tend and preserve the earth. And this word from God in Genesis dignifies many different types of human work. The VMC assembly focused on cultivating good soil for sowing seeds, the word of God. Now, some aspects of our society pressure us into overwork. Even if we're doing good work, lives without rest or refreshment are as unbiblical and unsustainable as lives of laziness and sloth. It's a challenge for us each day and each week, each season of life, to find rhythms of work and rest that emerge from our relationship with God, the God who loves us and creates us with a purpose. Today, we're listening for the word of God from two scriptures in the Bible's wisdom literature, Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. It's all right if you haven't really heard of Ecclesiastes. It's in the Old Testament. It's right after Proverbs, which is a far more popular book of the Bible. So I'm glad we were reading Ecclesiastes and giving it some time and hearing this morning. Hevel is a Hebrew word that's repeated 38 times in this very short book of Ecclesiastes. Hevel gets translated a lot of different ways. It literally means a mist, a vapor, wind, a breath. And metaphorically, it means vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Hevel refers in Ecclesiastes to the fleeting nature of reality and our inability as human beings to grasp life's meaning or purpose. We can't catch the wind, even if we chase after it. Ecclesiastes, that word, it means the one who gathers the assembly, and sometimes we just say the teacher. The voice we hear in this book of Ecclesiastes is that of a wisdom teacher who has a gathered assembly and is holding forth wise teachings. And we also hear at the very end of the book a narrator who kind of comments on the teaching. And now this belongs to the Bible, and so in Ecclesiastes, we also listen for the voice of God, God's word to us. The teacher or preacher, Kohelet in, not Colet like our Colet here in CMC, but Kohelet in Hebrew, explains that what we typically pursue in life, careers and pleasure and status and wealth, are in reality hevel, a vapor, a mist, a mere chasing after the wind. To the disappointment of hardworking and industrious folks among us, it turns out that the educated elite of the ancient world discovered that life is temporary. We're all going to die. Life is enigmatic and it's paradoxical. It doesn't always work out the way it seems, especially in the book of Proverbs. If we're eager to make meaning of our existence, Ecclesiastes disrupts our progress on a ladder of virtue or a ladder of life's meaning and puts to poetry the gnawing truth that our daily lives and commitments are hevel, mist, vapor. And so whether or not physical laziness is a problem for us, we are existentially prone to sloth. I know we've had a lot of definitions this morning, but here's another one. Sloth translates the Latin word acedia, without care. If sloth were just about physical laziness, then some of us would just feel entirely exempt, right? We're just simply too busy building houses or washing dishes or keeping appointments or planning events or meeting people or doing business or carrying on as God's people. Yet a calendar full of activity does not protect us from this vice. Sometimes what we're busy doing makes us care less or without care about God's priorities for human life, relationships with God and one another, tending the earth, and welcoming the kingdom of God. Spiritual writer Kathleen Norris has written a book, Acedia and Me, A Marriage, Monks, and a Writer's Life. In one passage, she clarifies, acedia, or sloth, is not a relic of the fourth century or a hang-up of some weird Christian monks, but a force we ignore at our peril. Whenever we focus on the foibles of celebrities to the detriment of learning about the real world, the emergence of fundamentalist religions and nationalist movements, the economic factors endangering our reefs and rainforests, the social and ecological damage caused by factory farming, acedia is at work. Wherever we run to escape it, acedia is there, propelling us to the next best thing, another paradise to revel in and wantonly destroy. It also sends us backward, prettying the past with the gloss of nostalgia. Acedia has come so far with us that it easily attached to our hectic and overburdened schedules. We appear to be anything but slothful, yet that is exactly what we are, as we do more and care less and feel pressured to do still more. The New Testament wisdom literature includes the book of James. And James was quite familiar with the biblical idea of all of our human endeavors being hevel, a mist. In fact, James takes the whole matter a bit further. It's quite sobering. Listen to this from chapter 4 in James. It says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." James says, I mean, this is the brother of Jesus, or, you know, somebody writing in that tradition, who says that you and I are nothing but an ephemeral mist. These biblical wisdom writings in Ecclesiastes and James go to great lengths to say that in the big picture of our life is next to nothing. We all die by crucifixion or some other means. And that's true, but it's a device also. Sure, we're soon to vanish off the earth and we may not be remembered, but the good news is that God is everything. God is our only source of life or meaning. Rather than chasing after the wind to give our life meaning or being victims of acedia and ceasing to care about God's priorities, biblical wisdom writings, old and new, urge human beings to live all day, every day, as a response to God. The triune life of God is ultimate reality, and our lives are a response to the truth and love of God. This is the human life that Jesus lived. Before we continue, let's sing together.
Sing from the Purple Book, Purple number 63. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. I'll lead in English. Feel free to sing in English or German. Verses 1 and 2, number 63.
You draw. Me up front. Will the children come and join me up front? It's great to see you. Come up close if you wish. Great to see you. Good morning. I've been thinking a lot about work lately, and I wonder whether some of you, do you have any work that you have to do at your house to kind of keep things going? Do you have any jobs? Any chores? Yes, what did you think? To feed your fish. That's a really important chore. You have to remember to feed your fish one time each day or more than that. Is it one time a day or two times in a day? Mm-hmm. What's one of your jobs, Melise? Do you have a job? Cleaning your room. That's really important because if that doesn't happen after a while, things are just kind of a wreck, right? Yeah, you got to put the toys away and some of the clothes away. Does anybody have any jobs in the kitchen? Do you have any jobs there? Or at your table at home? How about, do you have any jobs that are outside? Any work that you do that is outside? Pardon me? Working on the fence line. I'm so glad that you're on it because that's important, right? Are you successfully keeping some critters out of your garden so they don't come in and eat stuff? Yeah, it's important to maintain those fences. God wants us to have good work, and I'm so glad that you have some jobs and chores and work that you can do at your homes. God also wants us to rest. That's really important. Do you have a place that you can rest at your house? Nope, it's just work all the time. Where do you rest in your house? Mm-hmm. In your bed. I'm so glad to hear that you have a bed for resting. Does anybody have a place outside where they rest? We do a lot of playing outside and working outside, but sometimes we rest outside, maybe under a tree or on our steps or at a park, something like that. Now, I wonder about your parents. Do they have any work or jobs or chores that they do? Yeah? Pardon me? Your parents have the job of feeding the chickens. That's good to know. How about, so that's an outside job at your house that your parents have. Any of your parents have jobs inside the house? Is there any work that they do to kind of keep things going for the family? Yeah. They wash the dishes. I'm so glad because if nobody washed the dishes, after a while we wouldn't have any clean plates or forks or spoons. So it's really important that our parents do work. Do some of your parents have jobs that are away from home? Yeah. Sometimes they have to go away and work. I don't know what kind of jobs they have. I have a job. My job is being a pastor. And so I work sometimes on Sundays because I'm preaching a sermon or I'm sharing a story, and it gives me a lot of joy. But I also work during the week. We don't want to work all the time, but we do want to have good work to do, and we want to be able to rest. Today we're going to have a time for listening prayer, and I think all the children can be part of it, and all of the older children and youth and adults can be part of this. We are going to listen for God's word, because God might tell us something that God wants us to do, and God might tell us who God wants us to be. And we're not going to know if we don't listen. So for our listening prayer, everybody can do this together. We're going to be very quiet. Okay, so you can make your body a little bit still. You don't want to be all frozen and tight. You can just be relaxed, but kind of still. so that we're relaxed and alert, because we're going to be listening for God's word. So now I want you to take a deep breath. Can you take a deep breath? And now close your eyes. You can still keep breathing. And listen for a sound that is very far away, maybe even a sound from outside. If we're very quiet, maybe we can hear some cars out there or even a bird. Let's be quiet. And now listen for a sound that's a little bit closer, somewhere in the room, but maybe across the room. Maybe you can hear somebody moving in their chairs or little babies making sounds. Let's listen. Now listen for a sound that's even closer. Maybe it's the breath of someone right beside you. And now let's listen for God's word inside. God might be quiet, or God might tell us something. So we're just going to be quiet together for a minute and listen for what God might say. Thank you, God, that you speak to us with patience and love. And thank you for your word in our lives. Amen. Hey, before you go back to your seats, I want to ask you something. Did God say anything to you? No. It was just quiet. That's sometimes how it is for me. Sometimes I do hear something from God. But even when I don't hear anything and it just seems quiet, I think that God is saying, thank you for listening. Because, you know, we might still hear something from God when we're quiet, or it might come at another time. Even in worship, it might be during the scripture reading or during a song or during the sermon or during the prayers. So you keep listening for God's word, and all of us will listen together. You can go back to your seats.
Our next scripture reading is from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, you lazy bones. Consider its ways and be wise. Without having any chief or officer or ruler, it prepares food in summer and gathers its sustenance in harvest. How long will you lie there, O lazy bones? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed warrior.
Well, we have to be careful when we're speaking about sloth or acedia as vices, because many of the signs of sloth are similar to clinical depression and need special care. After hearing Proverbs 6, a salute to the industrious ant, we don't want to apply this scripture to the wrong circumstances. And actually, if you're interested in how we read the Bible and make good applications and hear God's voice in scripture, you might want to consider an adult ed class that we're considering for the fall, where we'll study a couple of books that will help with this, The Bible Unwrapped, Making Sense of Scripture Today, by Megan Larissa Good, who's a Mennonite pastor in the Southwest, and Fire by Night, Finding God in the Pages of the Old Testament, by another Mennonite pastor in North Carolina, Melissa Floor Bixler. One of my favorite stories when I was a little girl involved an ant, that story of the ant and the grasshopper. It wasn't in a storybook, and I think that's part of the reason that I really enjoyed it. My mother would just always tell it from memory, and so it always changed a little bit in the telling. I only learned as an adult that it was one of Aesop's fables, and this is the illustration from the Library of Congress for the ant and the grasshopper. As I got older, my mother would tell part of the story, and I would tell part, so each of us could make up a few different new details. And my mother was usually the grasshopper, suffering from acedia, playing the fiddle and singing songs rather than caring about winter preparations. My mother would dance and sing, and I would laugh. I was usually the ant, collecting all kinds of things, food for the winter, and storing it up for my family of ants. The moral of this fable is there's a time for work and a time for play. Now, looking back, I think this story was especially funny to me because my mother was the one who did a lot of work in our family and made sure that there was enough of what we needed. But telling this story over and over, where she was ignoring duty and simply playing and laughing together, was one way that I learned that her work of raising children was part of her joy in life. What if our work and our activity this week were truly focused on the Word of God for us, for this season of our lives? God's Word in terms of relationships, tending to the earth, and welcoming the Word of God. Who does God want us to be? What does God want us to do? There's joy in responding to God's Word in our lives. The narrator of Ecclesiastes, different from the teacher that has the voice in most of the book, the narrator who comments at the very end claims that in the end, reverence for God and the commands of love will be the measure of our mist-like days of life. We don't determine life's meaning, and if we try, we will not be able to grasp it. But God speaks a good word to us, and like good soil, we can receive it with joy. A zoologist, Lucy Cook, has a heart for misunderstood animals. So you can well imagine that she's interested in rehabilitating the image of the sloth. Cook claims that for our health and that of our planet, human beings should learn from the sloth, who consumes very little and lives a slow, sustainable, long life. She's written a book called Life in the Sloth Lane, Slow Down and Smell the Hibiscus. The point of her book, in addition to great photos and real, she's a zoologist, real insight about these amazing creatures, is slowing down and appreciating life for what it is instead of chasing after what you want it to be. Chasing after the wind. This chasing after is the overworked and overscheduled lives that some of us live. But there is joy in receiving our Creator's word for us. What is life but a gift from God who created all things, including animals like sloths and grasshoppers and ants, from whom we can learn so much? Slowing down enough to see God's handiwork in the world, slowing down enough to hear God's word in our own life, especially with respect to work and rest, will protect us from sloth and give us joy in Christ. In spite of Aesop's fable, animals don't suffer these vices, nor do they develop these virtues. Human beings are unique among the animals. We are made in the image of God. Our ephemeral lives, though nothing but a mist, are valuable to God. And because of Christ, we can enter into the work of God in the world. This week, let's listen for God's word to us about work and rest. And share what you hear with me or with another pastor or someone else you trust. As we hear and respond to God's word for our lives, joy can break into a day of work or a season of life that is stressful or difficult. As I mentioned, at the very end of Ecclesiastes, after the wisdom teacher has expounded on the vanities, the hebel of human life, this unknown narrator says, "When all is said and done, here is the last word. Worship in reverence the one true God, and keep God's word, for this is our work." Yesterday at the delegate assembly, at one point the work was getting hard. We were getting stuck. Executive Conference Minister Clyde Kratz spontaneously shared God's word for the conference. It felt like he was pastoring us, and I was most appreciative. Clyde spoke about VMC's commitment to evangelism through VM missions and recalled the many mission workers and credentialed leaders we had commissioned in a beautiful worship service Thursday evening. Clyde then celebrated our commitment to service and the recent example of building a house for the West Virginian family, the Walker family. And then Clyde grew a bit quieter, and he referred to social transformation. Clyde believes that Virginia Mennonite Conference congregations often neglect or ignore this kingdom work. He didn't use the term sloth or acedia. We probably would have felt that like an insult. But he was concerned that we easily become careless about social transformation. He credited Community Mennonite Church with being the only folks who are currently urging VMC to attend a social transformation. He mentioned my request that I had just dashed off a week earlier that he consider signing a petition for abolishing the death penalty in Virginia, since that may come before the legislature, and to share it with conference pastors and leaders. You know, hardworking Mennonites can slip into this deadly vice and care less about God's word in terms of social transformation by staying busy with other aspects of God's work in the world, mission and service that might be more comfortable for us. Even our gospel work of sharing God's word, serving others in need, and social transformation in terms of justice and peacemaking, all of it together is still but a mist, a vapor. Our lives, like Jesus' earthly life, are fleeting. It's only because the risen Lord Jesus is rescuing us from acedia, from sloth, from every vice, and even death, that we have life. It's only because Christ has sown a word into our lives that we work and rest in joy. So this week, listen for God's word for your own life and for our life together as a congregation, that we may labor in the joy of the Lord and rest in God's peace. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.